Welcome to Essence, your weekly dose of Essence magazine. I am Cherise Stevens, a volunteer reader for Sun Sounds of Arizona. Today, I am reading articles from the Fall-Winter 2025 issue of Essence magazine. Some of the articles I will be reading are The Voices of Altadena, Rebuilding Black Legacy After the Wildfires, and Power Players. The Voices of Altadena, Rebuilding Black Legacy After the Wildfires. The historic Los Angeles community refuses to be erased. By Jamila Nasheed. In January 2025, the Eaton Fire ravaged Altadena, California, an unincorporated community of nearly 43,000 northeast of Los Angeles and near the San Gabriel Mountains. The fire, driven by powerful Santa Ana winds, consumed over 14,000 acres, destroyed more than 9,000 structures, and claimed at least 31 lives. For many residents, the devastation involved not just lost homes, but also the potential erasure of a rich cultural legacy. Altadena has long been a sanctuary for Black families. Well-known public figures like Sidney Poitier, Jackie Robinson, and Octavia Butler called it home, as did many other Black folks, medical professionals, lawyers, school principals, and so on, who never became household names. One of the first Black-owned financial institutions west of the Mississippi, which offered mortgage loans to families of color, was located here. Due to discriminatory practices such as redlining, it was one of the few places where Black people in the area were able to purchase property. In the 1980s, Black Americans made up over 40% of Altadena's population, although its Black population in 2025 has fallen to 18%, about 75% of today's Black Altadena residents own their homes, which is significantly higher than the 44% national rate of Black home ownership. Altadena is such a special place where, post-redlining, Black families were able to put down roots by purchasing homes and starting to build generational wealth, says Aja Brown, former mayor of Compton, who was raised in Altadena during much of her childhood. It was very much ground zero for the Black generational wealth, with almost half of the community's Black-owned homes having been destroyed or heavily damaged in the Eaton Fire. Brown is leading efforts to ensure that Black families receive immediate relief and long-term support in their recovery efforts. In participation with Michael Tubbs, the former mayor of Stockton, Brown co-founded the Altadena Community Development Corporation, a nonprofit aimed at protecting Black home ownership and preventing displacement. We wanted to do all that we could to implement Phase Zero, which is like the oxygen mask for families that needed immediate help, says Brown. I was also thinking about it from an implementation standpoint. What would the arc of recovery look like? With Brown's background in community development, the team sought a streamlined approach to creating the most nimble, strategic, and efficient vehicle to navigate resources, and to ensure that there was full cooperation with every level of government, community philanthropic, and business resources. It's bringing the best of the best in all sectors together to mobilize in the best way that we can for families in Altadena, Brown says. The work of Tubbs and Brown combines immediate aid with systemic planning. Essentially, we're giving cash directly to folks, Tubbs explains. Mayor Brown came up with a brilliant idea of partnering with Forward Platform and End Poverty in California to create the Dena Care Collective, which provides cash to people, along with community organizing and policy support. We knew that if we were going to wait for somebody to do something, it wasn't going to get done. We knew we had to be at least part of the help. When the fires hit, their impact went beyond the destruction of homes. The disaster also jeopardized the legacy of this tight-knit community. Volunteers at the Altadena Historical Society are working to preserve that legacy by creating a repository of oral histories, photographs, and artifacts. We're not a museum, we're an archive. So we collect research, says Veronica Jones, the Society's president. People bring things that they've researched that they have value to us, and we archive it. We're a reference organization. We also have volunteers who are documenting historical homes that were burned and the ones that are left. They're going into some of our historical communities, like Jane's Village, and finding out exactly how many of those homes survived. So we'll have all that documentation. For Jones, who has lived in Altadena for more than six decades, these efforts are personal. I've been here for 61 years, she shares. I grew up in Altadena. We came here when I was 11, and I've been here ever since. I've raised three kids in this area. I've been in my house for about 41 years. I've been a volunteer and very involved in the community since my kids were little. I have deep roots here. Although we're now marking 90 years since the Altadena Historical Society was founded, and about 6 years since Jones became involved, the organization's work of documenting Altadena's history has taken on new urgency since the wildfires. We're collecting the stories of those affected by the fire, including those whose homes burned down, Jones says. It's now urgent that we document accounts from longtime residents that weren't documented before. We won't deprive future generations of any valuable insights or information into our community's past. That preservation of history starts with supporting the livelihoods of the community's seniors, the people who hold that history within them. That's something Lena L. Kennedy, community leader and CEO of Community Women Vital Voices, knows well. Kennedy, a Pasadena resident, began receiving phone calls from folks impacted, most of whom were 55 and older. Those calls led her to take action by creating the Eaton Fire Senior Summit. The gathering provides older residents with access to critical information and resources to handle insurance, housing, and legal complexities. The summit is meeting people where they are and giving them the tools to navigate this process, she says. It's going to take a lot of time to make sure that we build these people back up, build the community into something that's whole. The event is recurring. It takes place every 4 to 5 months and reflects the evolving needs of the community. For example, the second summit, which took place in August, focused on contractors, Kennedy explained. Because we are now in the phase of people starting to look at rebuilding their homes, looking for architects, looking for contractors. The impact is tangible. Participants leave informed, supported, and empowered. The summit brings awareness, Kennedy notes. The summit educates people on a way that's hands-on. They're getting every single thing they think they need, plus things they didn't know they needed. They get it at the summit. Kennedy's team also created a resource guide for seniors to alleviate some of the pressure of having to hit the internet for support. Additionally, Kennedy put together what she calls a Black clergy. I wanted the community to work together, she says. I have a Black leadership group that we put together so that we can really address things in an authentic, impactful way, so that when we leave this phase 10 years from now, we will be able to see that we made a difference and had systemic change, and that our community's better for the work that we're doing right now. The recovery process in Altadena is ongoing, layered, and deeply human. It's about more than reconstruction. It's about justice, equity, and legacy. Jones, Brown, Kennedy, Tubbs, and other folks in the community exemplify a model of leadership rooted in history, community, and hope. It's a form of leadership determined to ensure that Altadena's story is not erased, but strengthened for generations to come. As the smoke clears and the rebuilding continues, Altadena will continue to assert its future, a future that honors its past while empowering its present residents to stay, succeed, and carry forward the legacy of thriving historic Black community. Essence Power Players 2025. As Essence celebrates 55 transformative years, we honor the boundary breakers, dream builders, and culture shifters who are rewriting the rules of power and winning, by Kimberly Wilson. In a world that's constantly trying to box us in, these luminaries are breaking down barriers, building bridges, and creating entirely new spaces where we can flourish. They're the CEOs who remember where they came from, the artists who refuse to be silenced, the entrepreneurs turning their pain into purpose, and the athletes using their platforms to uplift entire communities. Meet the visionaries who aren't just changing the rules, they are creating entirely new playing fields. Essence presents its 2025 class of innovators and power brokers who are reinventing the game. In arts and culture, Debbie Allen, age 75, title, director, producer, choreographer, dancer, and actress. Debbie Allen has spent decades breaking through walls and glass ceilings, and she's not done renovating. The legendary entertainer is driven by the prospect of expanding the cultural consciousness of young people through dance, theater, television, and poetry. Using art as a bridge to deeper understanding, this year, she's most proud of creating Dancing in the Light, a free dance workshop series connecting communities who lost everything in recent wildfires. The workshop shows that art can help heal even the deepest wounds. Looking ahead, she's completing season 22 of Grey's Anatomy while preparing to direct August Wilson's Joe Turner's Come and Gone on Broadway. She also choreographing a fountain presentation in Abu Dhabi and receiving an honorary governor's award from the Academy. Most exciting of all, she's hoping to finally collaborate with her sister, Felicia Rashad, on a personal project that's been dear to both their hearts for years. Allen's advice for the next generation cuts against the digital grain. Buy books. Read them and don't settle for ChatGPT or internet information. Real learning means putting your hands in the soil and finding knowledge for yourself. Micheline Thomas, age 54, title, multidisciplinary artist. Micheline Thomas refuses to let Black women stay in society's supporting roles. She creates art that celebrates their beauty, femininity, and power as pure acts of liberation. The multidisciplinary artist has spent three decades amplifying Black identity and queerness while transgressing every boundary she encounters. This year brought her most transformative milestone with All About Love for her first international solo exhibition. She was inspired by Bell Hooks' book, which explores love as a radical act, and has traveled from the Broad in Los Angeles to London's Hayward Gallery and Barnes in Philadelphia, and finally, Les Abattoirs in Toulouse. Thomas has received an honorary doctorate from Rutgers University in her hometown of Camden, New Jersey. Meanwhile, she continues her mission to nurture new voices because she believes that is where art's truest power unfolds. Thomas encourages the next generation to stay rooted in purpose, to drown out critics, and to focus on creating impact rather than chasing acclaim. Melissa Kobe, age 38, title, visual artist and illustrator. Jamaica-born Melissa Kobe fell in love with art at age 4 when her mom gifted her with her first paint set and easel. But it took decades for her to make tennis history as the first Black artist to create theme art for the U.S. Open. The Tampa-based illustrator gained fame with her 2025 piece honoring Althea Gibson for the tournament's 75 years of breaking barriers theme. Kobe channeled her heritage into a tribute to the trailblazing tennis star who shattered the color barrier 75 years ago. Motivated by representing women of color, especially Black women, exactly as she sees them. Beautiful, resilient, soft, and aspirational. Kobe also intentionally chases her own personal joy through her work. Her advice to emerging artists, if your work means something to you, it means something to the world. period. Also, there's always room for Black art and a need to see Black joy represented. Kennedy Ryan, age 52, title, New York Times best-selling author. Kennedy Ryan refuses to keep marginalized voices on the sidelines. The romance novelist puts Black, brown, plus-size, disabled, and neurodiverse women front and center in stories where they're loved, respected, and celebrated exactly as they are. This year, she hit the New York Times bestseller list again with Can't Get Enough, breaking through on the notoriously competitive adult fiction list, where you can count Black authors on one hand over the past 4 years. Despite winning awards that no one who looks like her had ever won, Ryan still feels like she's swimming upstream in an industry where certain opportunities just don't happen for Black authors the same way they do for white peers. She fights back by showing up everywhere, self-publishing, traditional publishing, audiobook exclusives, and now screen adaptations. Her advice is all about clarity. Figure out what you actually want to write and who you want to be, because chasing someone else's version of success will always feel hollow. You are listening to Essence with Charisse Stevens on Sun Sounds of Arizona. In media content entertainment, Marsai Martin, age 21, title, actress, producer, and entrepreneur. Marsai Martin made history at 14 when she became the youngest Hollywood executive producer on her movie, Little, but she has been thinking big ever since. What makes her even more special is the fact that she has created space for young Black girls who rarely saw themselves leading stories or calling shots behind the scenes. This year, the Blackish star brought that vision to life with her Psy Summer Cookout Festival in Houston, drawing thousands to celebrate Black joy and HBCU pride. She also released her movie, G20, and she continues using her production company to hire women of color and mentor young creatives. Martin's biggest challenge has been the consistent need to prove herself in an industry that assumes she's too young, but she has learned to let her work speak for itself. Her message to young people, start now, even if it's messy, and remember to build not just for yourself, but also for your community. Denise Davis, age 37, title, CEO, founder, Reform Media Group and co-founder, Color Creative. Denise Davis is a four-time Emmy-nominated producer who started her career with music video and digital content, including Issa Rae's award-winning web series, The Misadventures of an Awkward Black Girl. Born and raised in blue-collar Las Vegas, she knew at 16 that she wanted to be a producer. So she headed off to study film at CUNY Brooklyn College, and then later to AFI's producing program in Los Angeles, earning her stripes on countless shoots with budgets under $100,000. Still, those early days, she has secured a developmental deal with Tyler Perry Studios, covering TV, unscripted, and first-look feature projects. Her producing credits range from HBO's Emmy-nominated series Insecure and a Black lady sketch show to Sony TriStar's theatrical film One of Them Days, starring Kiki Palmer and SZA. Her advice to the next generation, be okay with pivoting because Hollywood success rarely follows straight lines. And don't give up just because no one believes in your project yet. Sometimes you just need to believe in yourself. Tara Duncan, age undisclosed, title, President, Onyx Collective. Tara Duncan built Onyx Collective to tell the stories that weren't getting told. In her first year at Disney, she spearheaded the brand focusing on elevating artists of color and underrepresented voices. Their launch, Summer of Soul, won the Academy Award for Best Documentary Feature. This year brought a deeply personal milestone when she shared Sly Stallone's legacy through Sly Lives. One of the film's creators told her that Sly watched the documentary many times before she passed away. And knowing they had made something he was proud of meant everything to Duncan. She says her biggest challenge has been defying expectations of what it means to be an executive or president, but she has found success by staying true to herself and delivering exceptional work. Her advice to young professionals is straightforward. Be patient, listen, and take risks. Dawn Lemon, age 59, title journalist, author, CEO of Lemon Media Network, and host of The Dawn Lemon Show. Dawn Lemon grew up in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and rose to become one of America's most recognizable news anchors. But his biggest transformation came when he turned what could have been a career-ending departure from CNN into a triumphant comeback story. The winner of multiple Emmy and an Edward R. Murrow Award, Lemon spent nearly two decades building his reputation at CNN. But his launching Lemon Media Network proved that betting on yourself sometimes pays dividends in ways you never imagined. After gaining significant fame for his no-holds-barred commentary during the Trump presidency, Lemon's biggest accomplishment this year wasn't just building the Dawn Lemon Show from scratch. It was creating an independent platform where unfiltered conversations happen and voices that are typically silenced finally get amplified. His advice cuts straight to the core. Don't mistake access for power or proximity for purpose. Titles and followers come and go, but work rooted in truth and service to others will always matter. Kevin Fredericks, age 42, title, founder and CEO of Kev On Stage Studios and New York Times best-selling author. With a wife and kids depending on him, Kevin Fredericks walked away from a secure job at Boeing and proved that sometimes the craziest leap of faith leads to the biggest breakthroughs. Known to millions as Kev On Stage, the comedian is driven by his family and his faith, wanting his children to see that you can build something meaningful from scratch. This year, he also completed his book, Successful Failure, in which he opens up about his journey's highs, lows, mistakes, and lessons in the most honest way. His transition didn't bring overnight success, but sustained effort led to something that actually worked. His advice to the next generation centers on embracing failure as feedback. Every setback teaches you what to adjust, keep, or let go of. And staying consistent, in addition to being authentic, will eventually help you find your lane. In community and philanthropy, Imani Ellis, age 35, title, founder and CEO, Culture Con and the Creative Collective. Imani Ellis is on assignment to build spaces where Black creativity is seen, amplified, and cherished. Through CultureCon, now the world's largest community for Black arts, she has launched a movement that welcomes 10,000 creatives to Brooklyn annually for what she calls our love letter to our community. Beyond the annual conference, CultureCon and the Creative Collective provide year-round support through free therapy sessions, career opportunities, financial workshops, and grants. Her advice to the next generation, self-discipline compounds over time, and daily incremental growth will eventually transform your life. Rosalind Clark Artis, JD, EDD, age 55, title, President and CEO of Benedict College. Rosalind Clark Artis went from being a coal miner's daughter to leading one of America's most prestigious HBCUs. But she'll tell you her real job is much simpler, changing lives, one student at a time. The first-generation college graduate calls students her why, her what for, and her reason. And she makes every Benedict College decision with their needs, dreams, and aspirations front and center. This year, she's most proud of continuing increase in graduation rates, which demonstrate that when you support students completely, academically, financially, spiritually, mentally, physically, socially, and emotionally, they don't just survive, they thrive and lead. her biggest challenge came from being the first woman president at two historically Black universities. Navigating institutional pressures and deeply ingrained expectations of male traditions while facing skepticism about whether a woman could effectively lead, she overcame those doubts with preparation, resilience, and faith, refusing to shrink or apologize for her leadership style. Her advice to the next generation: move forward with courage, clarity, and conviction, never apologizing for excellence or shrinking to fit spaces not designed for you. Valisha Butterfield, age 47, title, Founder, Global State of Woman and Seed. When 318,000 Black women were forced out of their jobs within 3 months of the new administration being sworn in, Valisha Butterfield saw her calling. The former co-president of the Recording Academy and Google VP launched the Global State of Women platform to address the unemployment crisis hitting women nationwide. This year's proudest accomplishment was distributing emergency grants to women experiencing hardship while creating career pathways through her platform. She also produced The Memo, a short film starring Kyla Pratt, based on Minda Hart's best-selling book about workplace challenges for women of color. Her biggest challenge was being her own toughest critic, but she learned to quiet the internal noise and trust God. Her advice to young leaders: trust your path, don't wait for permission to lead, and remember to lift others as you climb. You have been listening to Essence, with readings from the Fall-Winter 2025 issue of Essence Magazine. I am Cherise Stevens, a volunteer reader with Sun Sounds of Arizona. Have a great day.